The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the Tilehurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Wokingham Paper for Friday, the 22nd of September, 2017. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetilehurstend.com, and I'm joined, as always, by the Wokingham Paper's Reading reporter, Tom Crocker. Tom, hello, how are you?
Afternoon, Dan. Welcome back to the country, first of all.
Yeah, at least there's a little bit of sunshine with me. It's not been quite the cold weather adjustment that you usually get when you step off a plane.
No, yeah, it's quite nice. I'm sure it'll turn pretty quickly, especially for those night games that are coming up. But yeah, so far it's been all right this week.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be sat in one of those big dugout Arsene Wenger-style coats on Saturday, now that I've talked about sun.
Yes, I think I might have to dig out my winter attire soon for the press box as well.
Absolutely. Well, look, last time we spoke, as I mentioned, I wasn't just abroad, but we were kind of in mixed mood. We'd just had that defeat to Bristol City and not really sure where things were going to go. We sit here 7 days later. And Tom, I think I'm going to start something today. Almost, I want to call it the Tomometer. Basically, I've been asking you all season, are you feeling better, worse, or the same about Reading's prospects this season? So we're going to start it now. Are you hotter or are you colder? Are you still in the middle on Reading's prospects this season after this week?
Colder, I think. It's not been a great week. I don't think anyone can say otherwise. Obviously, the point at Brentford is it's not bad to get a point away from home, but the performance wasn't great at all, really. They got out of jail and Tuesday night they played all right. But yeah, it's just not looking like scoring enough goals, and suddenly the gap, the gap in the table is already growing a little bit, especially now after they drew that game. So it's a big week coming up. They've got three games in 8 days and they need to pick up some points quickly. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit of a struggle. And I think some fans are getting a bit concerned about the lack of goals, and it could all turn very quickly if they don't pick up a home win sooner rather than later, really. It's certainly not looking great, but still, it can change really quickly the other way as well. So it's not like I'm not writing them off completely. And it just seems a bit of a struggle week on week at the moment to try and get some momentum going, which is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, so a chilly start on the Tomometer. I'm very much open to suggestions, by the way, if you've got a better idea. The Crocometer, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, we'll stick with that.
We'll stick with the Tomometer. Okay, done, deal. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's not been a good week. I mean, you do have to try and take the positive from them scrapping that point at Griffin Park and Swansea, although I did think we would nick it, not entirely surprising, especially with the quality of side that Swansea put out in the end. I don't think anyone was expecting quite that level of quality. But, you know, Stan was trying to take the positives out of both games. Can you sort of see why he's on the glass half empty, glass half full, should I say, bandwagon?
Yeah, I think he's got to be, really. Like you say, an away point in the Championship, I don't think you can sniff at that, really. He was brutally honest in the first half. They weren't good enough at Brentford and it could have been out of sight, really. I mean, they had a couple of chances in the first 3 minutes, really. Bodvarsson got in a couple of times, but apart from that, it was nearly all Brentford. And how they haven't won a game this season, I'm not too sure. I think speaking to some of the guys there on Saturday last week, they said it's sort of been the story of their season. They're missing big chances, missing penalties and that sort of thing. And it happened again. There was a few dubious refereeing calls on the day, and yeah, Reading got out of jail. They got the goal and nearly nicked it right at the end of a Luko shot that hit the bar, but that would have been complete robbery, really. They didn't deserve to win that game. And Tuesday night, Stam said afterwards that he felt Reading dominated the game. I'm not entirely sure quite where he got that from. First half, they battled quite well, I think. Paul Clement said after Swansea had to change their style to try and get something against Reading, which is a compliment, I suppose, to Reading. They admitted they had to dig in and sit in deeper and try and counter-attack, and the couple of goals they got were obviously fortunate, to say the least, really. Well, there's a corner, which you shouldn't be conceding a corner like that, and then the second goal obviously hit the referee, and we all know what happened after that. So it was encouraging, I think, on Tuesday, but I'd never really felt they were going to win the game. They didn't really look like scoring. I don't think they tested the keeper, apart from a few shots from outside the box, so there's plenty to work on.
You've been following Reading for a few years now, and especially last season. Are they playing any worse than last season for you, or is it just a case that just results are just swinging a different direction?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. There's quite a few of those home games we were sat at last year, and it wasn't great to watch, and they were grinding out the wins, I suppose. There was quite a lot, I don't know the exact numbers, but there seemed to be a lot of 2-1 home wins last year. And obviously this year, it's a 1-1 against Fulham, a loss against Bristol City, and those are the sort of games, especially the Bristol City one, they wouldn't have lost that last year. And Yeah, it's just I'm not sure if they're not playing great at the moment, but there were spells last year when they weren't playing great and they were getting the wins. So you have to hope maybe that will turn around quickly. Just one game goes their way and suddenly they can get back on a roll again. But yeah, I don't think there's a vast drop really in performance. It just seems to be things that there's not quite creating the sort of chances they were last year at the moment. I think that's the biggest difference from watching them rather than an overall performance. Because, I mean, defensively, if you look at the table, they're not defending too badly. I don't think they've let in many more than some of the top teams, really. So,
was it six or seven goals, I think?
Yeah, seven, I think. I think that's the fourth or fifth best, maybe, something like that in the league. So letting in goals isn't the problem. It's just scoring them at the other end. And some of the games, they're not really creating too many great chances either, which I think is the biggest issue at the moment.
Yeah, still the only team in the Championship yet to score a goal in the first half. If you look at the last three games, it's one penalty is all we've managed to trouble opposition goalkeepers. So is it, before we move on and get some of the news items of the week, just finally, do you think this is a supply issue for the front line, or is this the front line not being good enough? We're seeing lots of people now step up on social media and phone in Radio Berkshire and tweet us saying that, well, they should have signed a striker. We all knew this from last season. Is it as simplistic as that, or is it a case of, well, they're not even creating the chances?
That's an interesting point, because that's exactly the question I put to Yap on Tuesday night, the three games and only one goal, and that was a penalty, and he said he's not worried at all because they're still creating lots of chances. Again, I'm not entirely sure I buy into that, because it depends what you consider a chance, really. I suppose they had a few opportunities in and around the box where they put the ball across goal, but there's no one getting on the end of it. So if that's a chance, then I suppose you can count that. But in terms of actual shots on goal and working the keeper, they're not really doing enough. And if you start Roy Bearens up front and then you're putting crosses into the box, it seems a bit pointless. And that was the issue I had, I think, at Brentford on Saturday. They had Bodvarsson in the first half and they took him off for Bearens, and then they started putting crosses in. It's like it doesn't seem to make too much sense the way they're going about it right now. But yeah, I think, like I keep saying, if they can get a thing, just find a result of a win, then it can quickly turn around again. I think the supply line is there, but there is a lack of end product at the moment. I don't think anyone can deny that. Bodvarsson hasn't hit the ground running in terms of goals. Shaunie Luoko hasn't scored yet, and Liam Kelly's the top scorer, so that sort of says quite a lot about the sort of attacking options at the moment. They'll see if they can get Jan back as quick as they can, but he's going to take a bit of a while to get back up to speed. So, yeah, it is maybe a bit simple to just say if they had a striker, they'd be winning all these games, but I think it would have helped us for sure.
I tell a fib, I have got one more before we move on to the injury news. It seems weird for me to be asked this question, but look, we're in 2017 here, we can't ignore this. If we sat here next Friday and Reading have picked up, say, 1 point from two games, is Yap Stam under pressure?
Not from the club, I don't think. I think some fans might, if it goes badly tomorrow, I think some might make their feelings known. But after what he did last year, massively overachieved. And I know what you mean, because some people are getting sacked now so quickly. But he's been backed so heavily in the transfer market that I think they're going to give him a bit of time to try and... I think it's quite a new team, really, when you look at it. He's pretty much revamped it completely, and to just then suddenly get rid of him raises the question, who do you get in, and how many people do they then want to sign in January? I think it's going to take quite a lot for the club to sack Yap Stam. I think he's still a highly sought-after manager, and a week's a long time, though. If they win both those games, it's going to look great, and if they lose both, it's going to look like a bit of a struggle still. So I think he's still got more than a week to save his job, though, put it that way. I don't think it's anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, if Reading sack him off the back of a bad week, I think that would just signal that the club is in chaos. But look, you know, it's the managerial era we live in. It's the Frank de Boer era.
Yeah,
you know, when people can get sacked in 6 weeks. I mean, but if you look contextually, I mean, Reading tend to give these managers till Christmas. If past owners or anything to go by, you look at when Steve Clarke was sacked, when Nigel Adkins was sacked, when Brian McDermott was sacked in the February. So hopefully they've got a bit of patience. Even, you know, Brendan Rodgers even got till December, so he can get till December. Anyone can. Anyway, we'll move on. Injury-wise, nice to see Jordan Obita and John Swift getting some game time against Swansea. Got both just under an hour, didn't they? Any more reinforcements due, or on the other side, has anyone new entered the treatment room?
I don't think there's anyone new. I think the club are quite happy with the progress these guys are making now. I think the only one is really Mo Barrow. He missed the game at Brentford, and after speaking to Stan then, he sort of said he'll be out for about a week, but I would imagine he probably wouldn't risk him early, so I wouldn't expect to see him tomorrow, probably definitely not from the start. And then in terms of the others, everyone's just coming back and gaining fitness now. Obviously, Beeren's got his first start, as did Obita, and Swift came back from injury. I think Obita's looked a little bit rusty, being honest, in the last couple of games, so whether he starts again on Saturday will be a big call. I think when he's fully fit, he'll be first choice, but for now, I think it's still a question mark. And then Swifty, I think, looked pretty good, actually, especially in the first half, and then he got brought off fairly early in the second, so that's just a fitness thing with him. And I think the central midfield is a bit of a conundrum. I'm still not sure anyone really knows the best midfield three, so whether Swift is part of that, we're going to have to wait and see over the next few weeks. But yeah, fitness-wise, I think everyone's pretty much coming back now. Obviously, you've got Harriet and Jan and those guys, but they're getting back into training now, so it's not like anyone's a massive injury delay now. I think it's just a case of getting the minutes and trying to get them building fitness, which they'll be able to do because there's lots of games coming up.
Yeah, it's both the best and the worst thing we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, isn't it? He's almost got too much choice, and it's whether he knows. I noticed him saying after the game against Brentford that it's not a case of you're going to have automatic choices. He's getting to know his players, but do you see a pattern emerging? Can you sort of see a plan forming, or do you still think he's figuring it all out on the training ground?
I think in terms of sort of formation, whatever, I think that's pretty much set. He wants to try and use this 4-3-3, but... And obviously, you've got guys who are definitely going to play, like Aluko, and I think Barrett's going to play quite a lot when he's fit. But that's the problem, is he hasn't had the whole squad fit yet, so we can't be entirely sure if he knows the team he wants to get out, and he just can't get it out. That's the only thing we can't be sure of. And I do think, like I say, the central midfield is the one where there's so many sort of different sort of players that you can put in there, which I suppose, yeah, like you say, it's a good thing, but I'm not sure if there's even one or two that are definitely going to play every week at the moment. And It's something that he's got to try and figure out, because I think the best sides generally have a settled side. And I think last year, when you look back at it, he does tend to rotate two or three players, but that's usually sort of the front guys, the wingers. He chops and changes a little bit. So when he's got everyone fully fit, I think we will start to see a more settled team emerging. But right now, it's sort of when the team sheet comes in, it's anyone's guess as to which two or three players are going to play in a certain position, because it's just there's been no real consistency there.
Well, we move on, and Hull are the visitors on Saturday. They've had a bit of an up-and-down season under Mr. Slutsky so far, obviously relegated from the Premier League last season. What have you made of them from afar? How big a threat do you expect them to be running this weekend?
It would be similar to quite a lot of Championship games, I expect. They're all the teams seem fairly tight when you play. There's obviously a couple that will probably pull away, but the rest of them are all much for muchness, really. They're all going to be good enough on their day to win anywhere, and I think Hull, they've had a bit of an overhaul. They've obviously lost quite a lot of players, have gone on to Premier League clubs, and they've brought in a lot. They've obviously got a new manager, and they had a bit of a blow. I think Abel Hernandez scored a hat-trick right at the start of the season, and then got injured for 6 months. So I think they're still trying to work their way through that, and they've picked up a few results, but I think they're on the same points as Reading, maybe. So it's been a similarly inconsistent start from them, so... Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what you're going to get. They've had a whole week off. Of course, they didn't have a cup game, so I guess that will help them. And I imagine it's going to be a tight game tomorrow, and it's just going to be down to who actually takes their chances. I think it'll be the main factor, as it often is in these home games for Reading.
Yeah, both teams on 8 points with minus one goal difference, but it's almost chalk and cheese when you look at how they've got there. Reading with scoring 6, conceding 7, and Hull scoring 14 and conceding 15. So they're almost the Kevin Keegan to our... Arsenal of bad Arsenals of I'll allow you to determine which is a bad Arsenal. So yeah, chalk and cheese in terms of that effect. But you know, you look at a win on Saturday for Reading, and they could be, if you know, results are really kind to them, they could be as high as 11th. Probably not going to be that, but they could, you know, sneaking into 13th, 12th is certainly doable. So hopefully, and things just start to look a whole lot better when you're in double digits in points, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think it is so tight still, as it often is, and one win you could jump up a lot of places. And they obviously got Millwall then on Tuesday.
Yeah, they're 16th, 1 point above.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's just two games that they, if they play well enough, they can both think again to win the wins in both those games without a doubt. But equally, if it doesn't go well, they could easily lose them. You wouldn't be entirely surprised. So yeah, like you say, double figures in points will look a lot better, and suddenly then you'll be looking upwards rather than looking at how big the gap is. You'll be thinking, we've only got a few more places to get above, because right now it seems like a long way off to get top 6 or top 2, as they're talking about. It seems like quite ambitious at the moment, but it can change just so quickly. So that's why it's so hard to predict what's going on.
Absolutely. 7 points off the playoffs at the moment, although we do have that game in hand on sixth place, Sheffield United. A couple of familiar faces as well. It will be in the opposition ranks over the next week or so. We've got Michael Hector coming back with Hull. He didn't have a great game at the weekend, subbed off at half-time. And then we've got Jake Cooper making a return with Millwall. I imagine Jake Cooper, we won, and have a bit of a point to prove to Stam.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, he came into the side and played quite a few games. And then as soon as Stam came in, he hardly played at all. Probably played more minutes up front, maybe, than he did at the back. He didn't play much, really. And he was given the chance in pre-season and told he can stay around and fight for his place. But I think everyone knows he wasn't going to play much, and he's gone to Millwall. And yeah, it seems like a good fit for him. He obviously played in the Cup game a few weeks ago, and he'll want to prove a point again, and he's making a good career for himself now in the Championship still. So, yeah, he's good luck to him, and I'm sure he will be there on Tuesday night trying to prove a point, like you say. And Michael Hector, maybe a bit different in that he went to Chelsea, obviously with the dream of playing for them, and that's not looking too likely now. And he's basically fallen down to the same level where he left. So, again, if he gets the chance, he'll want to show what he can still do. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see him, and I'm not too sure either of them would necessarily be playing for Reading now if they stayed anyway. So, yeah, that's the situation with those two. And it's always nice to see the old faces come back. Just hopefully they don't grab a goal or something. That's the only worry you have of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure what sort of reception Michael Hector will get, really. I think he did well. I mean, he's one of our own, albeit via just about everywhere on loan. But he should get a nice round of applause. I think he left on fairly good terms. I think he's had one season in his career. He's 25, where he's actually played for his parent club. So, yeah, that'll be a nice remove. He can finally settle down somewhere. I think he might still be. I think he'd actually suit this Stam team. I think he's someone that's comfortable on the ball, playing it out. But unfortunately, sold before Yap arrived. So, those two games, then we've got Norwich, which we'll talk about next week. But it is the all-important Prediction League time, Tom. And we were discussing off-air just before we started rolling. We're having shockers.
It's not great. One slight point I would like to make on it is that we don't do it for cup games, and in the press box I said to everyone it's going to be 2-0 to Swansea, but obviously I got no points for that.
Your predecessor was exactly the same.
I can get people to vouch for that as well, so yes, that's my only saver on that. But in the league form, yeah, it's been awful. I can't hide from that at all.
Well, I have I've nailed my colours to the mast for the whole game anyway. I've gone for a 2-0 home win. Westie's gone for a 2-1 home victory as well. So what are your thoughts for Hull?
Not perhaps as optimistic as yourself. I'm probably going to go 1-1 for the home game. I think it could be another struggle, and depends, as I say, if they can put their chance away. But I'm going to stick with 1-1 for this one.
And you've got the choice. You can either make your Millwall prediction now, or I can get it for you on Twitter later after this weekend.
Let's wait.
Okay. that is
right,
wise.
They're going to win, but we'll see. Well, I'll make my definite decision afterwards.
That is fair enough. And just before we let you go, a bit of wider football news that I'll get your quick thoughts on. The EFL announced that they've sort of agreed in principle, they're going to put it to a vote that they expect to pass, that the transfer window will close before the start of the season, following suit from the Premier League, who announced this a couple of weeks ago. Do you think that's a good move?
Yeah, I think it was inevitable, really, when the Premier League did it. It made sense for the Championship to follow. And I think the arguments are all out there for everyone to see, really, that it's just about trying to get a settled squad. And I'm not sure if it's as important, but in the Premier League, obviously, you've got people from abroad coming and nicking your players, so people are a bit dubious, but that doesn't tend to happen as much in the Championship. And I think they've made it so that you can still make loans after that. So if you do lose some players to Premier League clubs, maybe then you can still add to your squad if you get injuries, whatever. Because obviously the Championship season starts before the Premier League one, usually. But yeah, I think it's a good move. Generally, you want to know your squad going into the season. I don't think anyone can really argue with that. So yeah, I think it's good news all round. I'm sure there'll be a few cases next season when it will look a bit, people will moan about it, that they've lost some players to injury and they can't replace them. But on the face of it as a whole, I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this whole loan stipulation that up until the 31st of August you can sign a player on loan, I'm not sure how that's going to work. Because, you know, if you're still doing your trading within the Football League, I don't know if that's going to cause more headaches or not. But interesting to see how it pans out anyway. But yeah, I think generally behind it, if the Premier League are doing so, it only makes sense to follow in. So that is proposed from the start of next season. So summer 2018, that would come into effect if it passes the EFL's AGM, which goes to a formal vote in February 2018. Anyway, that just about ends the show this week. Tom, what can we look forward to on the Wokingham paper over the next week?
Yeah, so we've got the preview with the app for the whole game going up this afternoon, and obviously be at the Hull tomorrow, so that will be coverage from there, and then it's Millwall on Tuesday, so it's another busy week and hopefully a happier one for your Tomometer next weekend.
Yeah, very much so. And where can they follow you on social media?
Yes, so on Twitter it's at Tom J Crocker, and that'll be the main place where I'll put all my stuff, and then wokinghampaper.co.uk for the reports and what have you as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much as always for joining me. I said hopefully that Tomometer heats up over the next week or so, and we've got much more positive things to talk about next week. Until then, safe visit to the Madstad on Saturday, and we'll speak to you next week.
Will do, John. Cheers.
Take care. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.